They are one of the largest recipients of NIH funding. Their scientists played a substantial role in developing more than half the cancer drugs approved by the FDA in the last 5 years. Dana-Farber Cancer Institute has been making one advanced cancer discovery after another for over 75 years. At Dana-Farber Cancer Institute, what we do here changes lives everywhere. Find out more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
The mess at American Apparel just hit a turning point. From APM, I'm David Brancaccio. Embattled Made in America clothing company American Apparel today said it's filing for bankruptcy protection in a bid to stay in business in some form. Sales are off and its founder left under a dark cloud. Marketplace's Kimberly Adams is following developments today.
American Apparel says the deal will keep the business operating, quote, without interruption to customers, employees, and vendors. Now, several of the company's biggest lenders agreed to trade the money owed them for shares in the retailer, reducing its debt by more than half. In interest payments alone, that will save $20 million a year. The once popular brand has been struggling recently in the face of cheaper, imported, fast fashion brands like Zara and H&M. Its target teen market is now more interested in tech and digital purchases, pushing many similar brands out of business. Those industry problems were exacerbated by allegations against American Apparel's founder and former CEO, Dove Charney. Accusations of sexual misconduct scared away investors and brought several lawsuits. A bankruptcy court still has to approve this deal before it can go forward.
Kimberly, thank you. We're monitoring also the Pacific-wide trade negotiations that went on through the weekend in Atlanta. A news conference on the sweeping and controversial potential treaty is set for this morning. Crude oil is in the $46 a barrel range right now. 16 months ago, it was nearly triple that. Companies barreled into hydraulic fracturing or fracking to pull out that fuel. But now many are going bankrupt, as Marketplace's Nova Safo reports.
There were a large number of new companies in the fracking business in the last 4 or 5 years. Industry analyst James West of Evercore says those recent entrants are now finding it hard to survive.
Oh, these are very small, and they were building out their fleet. Now they're finding that there's no work out there, and so they're having to close the doors.
And they're taking a lot of jobs with them. In the oil industry, job losses have totaled more than 80,000 since this time last year in places like West Texas and North Dakota and parts of Oklahoma and Kansas. Even large companies such as the oil field services giant Halliburton have cut workers.
These are primarily lower skilled jobs. You know, on a frack crew carrying around cement and fluids and running the pumps.
These jobs can come back, says oil industry consultant Caldwell Bailey of IHS.
We're looking at a situation that people have been in before. The industry has found ways to continue to exist and be ready for the turnaround when it comes.
Bailey predicts that turnaround will take another year. I'm Nova Safo for Marketplace.
There's a documentary film in theaters now called Meru, M-E-R-U, Meru. It's a peak in the Himalayas some see as the center of the Hindu universe.
We'd hit these totally blank sections of rock, and I was sure there wasn't anywhere else to go. But then Jimmy or Conrad would launch into the void.
Part of that range is a nearly smooth shard of rock, like an arrowhead. The Shark's Fin, up near 21,000 feet, had never before been climbed. In the film, the writer John Krakauer says finding hand and footholds on that nearly vertical shard requires the precise work of a cabinet maker.
If you hit that chisel one more time in your cabinet maker, maybe you split it and you ruin this cabinet. Bummer. If on an A4 pitch, you like split the cabinet, you die.
Three pro climbers try it, and at first, hilarity does not ensue. Meru, the documentary, has become a hit, and that is, among other things, a business story. Chai Vassarelli is the film's co-director. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Now, I saw Meru in a theater in New York on a gorgeous weekend afternoon where everything in the city was competing for our attention, but yet it was hard to find a seat. Do you have a hit on your hands here?
It's been a wonderful experience, and I'm happy that audiences are enjoying the film. I mean, I think it's the second highest grossing documentary film of the year, second only to the Amy Winehouse film. So we're at now 2.2 million.
Originally, the gang comes back from their two expeditions with quite a yarn and some nice footage. Jimmy Chin, filmmaker and one of the climbers, shows it to you at an early stage, and you looked at it and thought, what, needs a little bit of work?
I thought it was an extraordinary story, and the footage was just something most people have never seen before. And they just needed some help kind of pulling out the story. And you watch the film and you think there must be a whole crew out there, and there's not. It's just the three of them, and two of them are filming themselves, essentially.
But to turn good footage into a big film needs money. What did you do?
Well, we raised private equity from several investors. You know, I really believe that you need to try to keep these documentaries as cheap as possible because it's just hard to get distribution. You never know if you're going to get into Sundance or a distributor is going to pick you up, and you may have these aspirations and these dreams, but these are passion projects, and at the same time, like, you are risking your livelihood, but let's try to limit how much you're risking.
But it doesn't seem cheap. I mean, the music is grand. I have to say the graphics look pretty snappy, where the route in their locations are traced out.
The music was our biggest line item. It was expensive. I think it just really helps the production quality. But, you know, really where we saved was it's three guys on a mountain camping in a tent and shooting their own film. They only had two expeditions. We couldn't go back. Meru is not that type of situation that you can just go back to grab a shot you missed. So it was really working with what we had and focusing on story.
Chai Vassarelli is co-director of the documentary film Meru, which is in theaters now. Chai, thank you.
Thank you, David.
Now, a few years ago, I hiked with one of those mountaineers, Conrad Anker, to what would become base camp in that film. It was for a PBS doc about food security and climate change. There's a link to my On Thin Ice PBS show, plus a link to the trailer for Meru at marketplace.org. From studios at Montclair State University today, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.